Our scripture lesson today comes from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the midst of a series of teachings where Jesus is talking to his disciples about how they're called to live. And then you'll see the scene changes and he travels to the home of a Pharisee who invites him to dinner. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays." While he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give alms for those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds, and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced, without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without realizing it." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's Stewardship Dedication Sunday. Last week, in our big grand 75th anniversary celebration, I was talking with our pastor emeritus, Vernon Hunter, about today's worship service. He said, "Oh, have you titled your message yet? Are you going to call it the Sermon on the Amount?" I said, "I'll use that joke, but I'll blame you for it." In our scripture passage today, we learn that through one set of lenses at least, Jesus doesn't appear to be a very good dinner guest, at least not a typical one. When the Pharisee invites him over, he takes over. He starts chastising the Pharisee and all of his friends for their empty, half-hearted rituals that ignore the full call to give, to live wholeheartedly. He says, "You care so much about this ritualized hand-washing practice, but you don't realize that all within you is dirty. You're washing the outside. You're tithing just a little bit of mint and herbs from your garden while you're neglecting the inner self, the whole self, the whole life called to live in ways that are just and merciful." That language of washing both on the outside and on the inside reminds me a great deal of the sacrament of baptism that we just celebrated. Andy may have danced through his baptism more than any baby I've ever seen. And he's right to do so. Because in these waters, we celebrate the good news that we belong to God. In life and in death, not just our outer, but our whole inner bodies, ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our souls. We belong to the loving God who claims each and every one of us as beloved children. There's an ancient baptism story going back to the days of the 4th and 5th centuries when the Roman Empire had fully embraced, at least in its official organization, the Christian church. It was no longer persecuting the church. Instead, the empire saw itself as having been baptized. And so that meant when it fought wars against heathen opponents, they superimposed a sense of religious justification on those wars. And through the midst of those bloody conflicts, the Christian faith also spread to a larger and larger audience. So there's stories from those times in the 4th and 5th centuries when the Roman troops would conquer the area that had been held by a Germanic tribe. And all of the population was expected now to be baptized. And so they would be led out into the water of a river or a lake nearby. And a priest would take them and immerse them in the waters of baptism. A sign, a seal, a sacrament, pointing to the truth that they belong to God. But in a few instances in some of these Germanic tribes, there are stories as these warriors who had been conquered in battle were being put under the water, they would stick their hand, one hand, up and keep it from going under the water. And the story goes that they said, in baptism, my whole body belongs to the Prince of Peace, but not my sword hand. That still belongs to the God of War. The conviction to practice peace, to not wage war against one another in the Christian faith, they wanted to keep a little bit out of the water. Something, at least, that doesn't belong, so that I can grab hold of that sword without a sense of guilt. Now, that's a twisted way of understanding the theology of baptism, of course, but it shows you a sense, an ancient sense, of the understanding of what it means to belong to God. That it was worth keeping something out. Now, as Christians today, as certainly as Presbyterians, most of the time we don't practice baptism through the means of immersion. But we still understand that in the waters, our whole selves are claimed by God. And yet, in our lives, in our practice, we still act as if there's some parts that don't belong to God. What is it that we hold up out of the waters today? Not our swords. Maybe, for some of us, it's our wallet, or our checkbook, or our retirement plan, or our sense of security found in economic success. We live and breathe and worship, affirming the truth that in life and in death, our whole selves belong to God, but we hedge our bets sometimes, don't we? We hold just a little bit out of the water. No, that doesn't belong to the Prince of Peace, but to some other idols that we would rather worship. We hold back. When we're called to put our whole selves in, and like Andy did, to shake it all about. This fall, we've been sharing stories of the history of this congregation. As we've celebrated our 75th anniversary, we've talked about the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, who have taught us what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, who have modeled for us ways of Christian living, of faithful discipleship, but also who've taught us about
how to give, what responsible, prayerful, sacrificial patterns of stewardship look like. So some of you have heard, either through the letter that came in the mail with our pledge cards, or maybe you saw a video on Facebook, or have just heard us talking about it. We're going to follow our traditional pattern of inviting you after the sermon to come forward from your pew. It doesn't have to be one pew at a time. It can be in whatever, however you feel called by the Holy Spirit, to come forward and to place your pledge card in one of these two baskets that a younger generation in our church will be holding. But this year, what's a little different is we're inviting you on the back of your pledge card, or on the outside of the envelope, maybe where it's, if it's in an envelope, to write the name or names of people who have been your great cloud of witnesses, who taught you what real giving, what responsible and sacrificial stewardship looks like. We've been talking about this idea for a few weeks, and after a meeting up here for another occasion, Norma Baymiller shared with me whose name she's written on the back of her pledge card. It's the name of her mother. Norma's mother. Norma remembers growing up in the early 40s when times were hard for most folks, but especially in her family. You may not know this, but Norma is the youngest of 12 children. It's a lot of baptismal water to go through. And yet, in the midst of those times, she remembers her mother being someone who was always open-hearted, always welcoming people in, and always giving of herself, her time, her energy, her resources, even when it wouldn't have made sense to do so. She would give anytime someone was in need. She would give odd jobs to people who'd come by the house, not looking for a handout, but looking to earn their keep. And so she'd come up with tasks for them to do, to sharpen the knives or to clean a room or to do some yard work, and she would come out and feed them with a feast. There was always enough food for everyone to eat. Norma remembers she, if her mother received a gift, it wouldn't be long before you'd see that gift given back to someone in the community that she realized needed it more than herself. She even gave Norma's bike away before she was ready to give it up. But someone needed it. The great cloud of witnesses who model for us the joy in true giving. The back of my pledge card has the name of a former member of our congregation written on it, Peter Pierce. Every year when we would have this Sunday, Dedication Sunday, we'd invite the congregation to come forward and place their card in the basket or the chest, whatever we were using. We had that inflatable boat last year, you'll remember. Peter usually was in the back of the church because he was usually ushering, but he knew what was coming, and he would make a beeline down that center aisle to be the first person to put his pledge card in the basket for the coming year. To joyfully, with a smile on his face, give to God out of his whole self. His physical movement on that one day a year taught me more than 100 sermons could about what Christian stewardship looks like and feels like. So we invite you this day to write the names of those who are in your great cloud of witnesses who have taught you the joy of true giving, not of just holding back some, but putting your whole self in. We'll invite you to come down and to place those cards in just a moment. And as we do, know that the names of so many others are here in the sanctuary with us, many of whom from generations that have gone before us. If you haven't filled your pledge card out yet, we will give you a second to do so. And if you have or haven't, in the midst, of course, of prayerfully discerning what is appropriate for you in this coming year, I hope that you'll also think back to those folks who taught you what it means to give. Would the name on the back of your pledge card be proud of what you've put on the front of that pledge card? Is your participation in Christian stewardship today a true reflection of what you've learned from the great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us? So we'll take a time now in silence. If you need some time to write. And then in just a moment, I'll have our expert assistants come up and hold our baskets. And as the Spirit moves you, we invite you to come forward and place your pledge, your tangible reminder of the great cloud of witnesses with you.